So here the scripture, Ephesians urges us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. What is the calling here? What is the one calling we all have? The calling when the Holy Spirit prompted us to believe in Christ. That's the calling, right? To live in a manner worthy of that calling. To be consistent with the one whom we have believed. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. Right, the first two words really stand out, right? Humility and gentleness. If you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11, take my yoke, right? Learn from me, right? Because I am humble and gentle. The exact two words here. Humility means considering ourselves as small, but recognizing how big God is, recognizing how powerful our God can be. Gentleness, another word for that is meekness. Right? Meek. We talked about this word before. Right? Blessed are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness means you're submissive, sometimes even to offenses. Like when people offend you, you refuse to retaliate. And instead, you respond with a gentle attitude. Right? Proverbs said, if we ignore offenses, that is for our own glory. And God has a great promise to people who are meek. God said, these kind of people, they will inherit the earth. They'll enjoy great possession. They enjoy great blessings from God. So to maintain the unity of the Spirit, we need humility and gentleness, and we need to be patient. We need to bear each other in love. What's the unity? Here the scripture spells out seven unity, right? Seven ones. There's one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. See, the word unity in Greek is oneness. Right? We are in oneness. We are to keep and maintain the oneness of the Spirit. Why? Because the seven ones we have. We have the same hope, we have the same faith, we have the same baptism, we have the same God. And this God is over all and through all and in all. The omnipresent God. The grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. What are these gifts? Before Ephesians going to describe the gifts, the author quoted a scripture from Psalm, I believe Psalm 68. Therefore he says in Psalm 68, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to man. The original Psalm talks about a Jewish king, right, claiming his victory, and on the way to his proclamation, or his victory, he led a host of captives, the slaves that he captured during the war. So Ephesians quotes this psalm and says, in saying he ascended, what does it mean by that? He had also descended into the lower region, the earth. So Ephesians believe that this psalm was prophesying about Christ, the coming king, the truly anointed of God. He had ascended, but he also had first descended, meaning his incarnation. He became a man, died on the cross, and eventually ascended to heaven, sitting right now at the right hand of God. He who has descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So Christ covered the whole spectrum of God's creation, so that he may bring about the new creation, in which he fills all things. And he gave, now the author goes back to the gifts. And then he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Different kind of ministries. But this was at Paul's time, at the beginning of the early churches. Today we have more gifts. We have more kinds of ministries. You, I believe each one of you, you have a special gift from God to serve and to equip the church. And what's the meaning? What's the purpose of these gifts? They are to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So gift is not for self-serving. Gift is for body building. It's to build up the church, the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Surprisingly, the book of Ephesians doesn't talk about growth in numbers. Other books talk about that. Book of Acts talk about church multiplied in size and numbers. But here, Ephesians emphasizes on maturity. Right? That's the reason, that's the purpose of the growth, is to become mature. How do we know we are mature? That we have attained to the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So that we may no longer be children. Right? We want to be mature so we don't be kids again. Kids in other Gospels are portrayed in positive light, right? You want to enter the kingdom, you have to be like a child. But here, children is described as someone is naive, someone who cannot tell right and wrong, someone who is easily fooled and deceived. How are they deceived? They are like children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. There are all kinds of sayings right now, right? Postmodern age we live in today. There are all some kinds of theories, all kinds of philosophies, all kinds of causes, right? People call each other into all kinds of false teachings. Even at churches, we read the scripture, Rochelle let us read the scripture of Ezekiel. We still have false prophets today. And probably not in this church. This church is small. False prophets can easily be exposed. In my previous church, there are actually people going around telling you like, hey, you like this boy? And according to my prophecy, he's going to become your boyfriend. I'm talking about some true story. But of course, that never happened. And that kind of false prophecy actually hurts people, right? Because people put false hope into these false promises made by these false prophets. Some mega churches and some, unfortunately, some charismatic churches have these kind of issues. We are, as a small church, we right now I don't see we have this kind of issue, but we need to be watchful. We need to be careful. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds up itself in love. So the counteraction, the antidote for false prophets, false teachings, is speaking truth in love. It's being truthful. In fact, chapter 4, the focus of chapter 4 is truth. And we're going to learn more next week on the second half of chapter 4. So that's the first half of chapter 4. And there are four things that I want to talk about today. First thing is calling. What calling you have? What kind of calling have you received from God? I want to mention this because I feel this term has been over-spiritualized and sometimes misused or even abused by Christians. You know, previously I was managing with my previous church, we were managing certain staff. And because something happened in the office, we want to change their job description. And some of them had a strong response, say, I'm called to do this. This is my calling. So you cannot change my job. You cannot move me around. And that actually causes divisions in the church. But here Ephesians tell us, the number one calling we have is a calling to maintain the unity of God, of church. Maintain the unity of spirit in a bond of peace. Not to be disruptive. It's not to be divisive. God's calling sometimes can change, I would say. especially in terms of specific capacity, specific ministries, it can change. Many missionaries would know this. Many missionaries, they were called to serve in China, but the regime changed, communists came on board, shut the door, and you got kicked out. And that happened in 1949. And that happened several years ago when Xi Jinping came into power. And a whole bunch of missionaries had to relocate, right? So where's God's calling, people may ask. But you can also argue God's calling never changes, but no matter where these missionaries move to, they continue to minister to people. Some people, they have to leave mainland China, and they move to Southeast Asia, they move to Taiwan or other areas. They continue to minister to ethnic Chinese, or even they just minister to Asians. I know the BSF founder, the woman who founded the Bible Study Fellowship, this is a global ministry, used to be a missionary in China. She got kicked out, likely in 1949. She came back to California, and she started a whole new ministry for American women, and now has become a global ministry. God's calling has never changed. God always called us to minister to people, to love, to care, to share His word, to teach the gospel. And the ultimate calling is to keep the unity of His body. Specific ministry, specific capacity, specific place and time, that can change. So I think Ephesians will help us to put God's calling in a good, in the right perspective. Second thing I want to talk about is the gifts. Christ's gifts, all gifts are from Christ. Right? Apostles, prophets, whatever ministries that we're doing, they are from Christ. And the reason for giving us all these gifts is to equip other saints, other believers, is to help other people grow. Gifts is not something for us to gain glory, to be able to sustain and stop a spotlight, to be praised by people. It's not something we should boast about. It's not something we should be proud of. Because ultimately, the gift is our looking, it's our serving. Is to help the church, is to help other people, is to glorify God and edify other Christians. So what gifts you have? Spend some time thinking about this. What gifts you have? Are you using those gifts to glorify yourself? To be popular? Are you using those gifts to bless other people? To be a blessing to God? Thirdly, maturity. What is maturity? Maturity here is defined in Ephesians as the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And the reason for being mature is that we will not be easily deceived. There are all kinds of teaching right now. There are all kinds of churches, all kinds of groups that call them churches. You know, just, I think 2 weeks ago in Sunday school, we were talking about this. I think it's the last Sunday. And sister was sharing that she went to this city, sitting in this with a bunch of friends, listening to this sermon, somehow it just didn't sound right. And she was talking to other Christian friends, she was verifying with the biblical teaching, and they find that teaching questionable. So that's why I call maturity. You have to be able to discern. Is the Jesus that this church is preaching the same Jesus as revealed in the Bible, as the apostles confessed in the gospel? There are all kinds of Jesus these days. There's a black Jesus, there's a female Jesus. Several weeks ago on Netflix, they have a film about Jesus as a homosexual Jesus. What kind of Jesus do we believe? Do you truly know this Jesus as confessed by the apostles, as testified by the Bible? We believe the Jesus of Nazarene. We believe the Jesus born of Mary and Joseph, conceived through the Holy Spirit. We believe that Jesus will perform many miracles and have committed no sins. We believe in Jesus who had died on the cross. We believe in Jesus who was raised from the dead after 3 days. We believe in Jesus who had ascended into heaven and now sitting at the right hand of God. We have to know this Jesus. Do you have the personal knowledge of this Jesus Christ? How do we reach this maturity? Therefore, Sunday school is important, right? Not only you are here on Sunday, now you listen to the sermon, you have to study the scripture. Therefore, you must, if you have time, I really encourage you to join Sunday school. I also encourage you to have daily devotional time, that you study the Word of God, meditate on His Word, and you really, really, really need to pray. The knowledge of Christ cannot be just paper knowledge. You have to know Jesus Christ as a real person, as a real God, living in your life. When we pray, God answers. Sometimes God answers the way we pray. Sometimes God answers not in the way we pray, but in His way. That's when we learn more about Him. Because He's an independent individual. He thinks differently. And His ways are higher than ours. Sometimes He agrees with us. Sometimes He doesn't agree with us. But in those disagreements, that's when we learn about Him. We learn His higher purpose. We learn His better character. We learn that He's a good God and His will is always the best. Fellowship, right? Another thing, how to become mature? Fellowship. You have to hang out with other Christians. I'm glad to say that I think most of us here, we're in some kind of small group. If some of you are not in small group, I really hope you join a small group. There are many small groups. We're going to have a slide later in the announcement. We have 7 small groups right now. There must be a way for you to join a group. You have to hang out with other Christians. So people see your life is transparent to the community. People see how you live. They'll keep you accountable. And they will also encourage you or comfort you whenever you are down. Whenever you find it hard to live in this way, to live in a worthy manner of your calling, some people can give you a hand. They can pray for you. They can encourage you. They can support you. Right? So prayer, study God's words, and join the fellowship. Okay? 3 things I encourage you, all of you, to do to become mature. Last thing I want to talk about is joint. Church here is described as organic body. It's described as a body of Christ. So it's living. It's a living body, and it's organic. I want to share with you a story. Before I came here to be a minister for this congregation, I think I arrived late July. I started my job as a minister August, about three years ago. 2017, I think. Yeah, 3 years ago. Before I came, something bad happened, and I didn't like it. I had a swollen knee. My knee had a surgery a while ago, but I thought it was totally healed. Before I came, something was swollen. Maybe I was carrying something too heavy. And tried different things, took different medicine, couldn't deal with it. It just kept being swollen. I didn't know what to do. I was frustrated. I was praying. I was a bit upset. I said, God, I'm going to go there and do this. Minister for you, for your church, and why this? So God sent my brother-in-law in Taiwan, and he talked to me. He said, well, he has the same issue. He said, you probably need to not work on your knee, because knee is a joint. It's difficult to heal if you work directly on it. So doctor's advice, according to his doctor, that I should work on the muscles, the other body parts, connected to the knee. So if my muscles get stronger, they will pull my knee into the right position so the swelling can be gone. And that's what I did. And just within 2 days, I was doing swimming, stretching my thighs, and miraculously, within 2 days, the swelling power was gone. And the Spirit told me that He's intended to teach me a lesson through this, because church is like organic body. Sometimes a part is weak and you cannot directly work on it. You have to work on the muscles around it to put that weak part into the right position. So why I'm saying this, I believe all of you are joints. All of you are some kinds of joints to a certain group of people. Some of you are joined to the youth. Some of you are the joined to young adults. Some of you are the joined to worship team. You all have your own affinity groups that you hang out with, that you're familiar with, that you minister to. Just think about how you can be better joints in this body of Christ. If you make people around you stronger, you will become stronger. It goes both ways. It's mutually edifying. Just like my knee. When the muscles around my knee get stronger, the knee gets back to a healthy state. It's mutually edifying. For those of you who are going to become leaders of this church, who's going to become shepherds, deacons, elders, now whatever God is calling you to be, think about how you can be a better joint, how you can be a better blessing to people who are close to you, people who are in the same affinity group with you, how you can make them grow, make them stronger, and in turn, those blessings will come back to you. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus Christ, you are a mystery, and your body is a mystery. Oh, just like our body sometimes is a mystery. Sometimes our body hurts, and we don't know why it hurts, and sometimes it's healed, and we don't know why it's miraculously healed. It's a mystery. Therefore, we do have fear of you. We do have awe of you. Because we know it is you who's working all these mysteries in our lives. We submit this church to you. This is the body of Christ. It's a small church, but it's a lovely, full of love and kindness toward each other. We thank you for this church. May you continue to bless this body of yours. May you help each one of us today to be joined to you and with other parts of this body. For those of us who are still not in a small group, who love us, those of us who are still left, feel kind of lonely and left alone, may you help all of us to find home, find a group, find a circle, good circle of friends in this church, so that we can connected, so that we can join, we can be joined, so that we can grow in your truth, in your love, to maturity, so that we will not be easily deceived. We will have discernment. We will have your wisdom in whatever situation we're facing today in this age. Thank you. Bless us. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.